Rob Heron and the Teapad Orchestra there doing Steamboat Blues. Some smutty punnage there, I think. Welcome back to Dr. Rock's radio show here on msiradio.com and scotlandisfree.ning.com. We're at the Tutus Gathering, which, by the way, they've put a lot of work. It's been put together effectively by a four-man crew, although there's obviously a few more of us now. Really, four people have done, as far as I can see, all of the work. And it starts tonight. We've had a bit of an open mic session. We've got, what's the name of the lady from...
Kerry.
Kerry from Project Camelot is doing a talk now, which I'm not able to hear. And then we've got Friday, Saturday and Sunday with two arenas running. And the whole gig they're managing to do for £70, which I think for three full days and two arenas...
£100
tickets. Well, no, it's all right. That's with food.
Oh.
Yeah, you can, if you pay, give them another 30 quid or so, you can have three meals a day for three of those days as well. We've got a fine lineup of people. We've got Gary Evans, who I've spoken about on the show before, but I've never managed to actually catch an interview with. He was, the first time I saw him, he was doing a talk called Evidence for Atlantis, which was absolutely gripping. It really filled the tent. He's talking about the natural technologies of the ancient world. Lucy Wyatt's here as well, talking from the Ice Age to the modern age and the origins of cities. We've got some guy called Nick Marchmont, can't remember who he is. He's doing Worlds in Collision and the Electric Universe, and also Ceremony Healing and the End of a World Age. See, Gary's doing two gigs tomorrow. In fact, he's doing Moving from the Rational Mind to the Intuitive Mind, a practical workshop using the tools of ancient ritual. Dave Murphy's on as well, talking about telepathy and the complete human. Should be interesting. John Bide is here doing his...
I'm really looking forward to John.
Yeah, John.
John's amazing.
We've got a bit of a recorded chat with John, actually, from the Truth Juice Gathering, which we'll have time to use at some point. I'll go through some more of the people on the programme before the end of the show. But in the meantime, I've got Vicky with me, who I've known for a while. First met you when you came to a Sacred Geometry talk, wasn't it? Fantastic pub in Birmingham.
No, it was Wrexham.
It was Wrexham the first time, right? Yeah, we had quite a physical impact on you, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, you got yourself tattooed.
You blew my mind, Nick, definitely.
Do you want to tell them about the tattoos? Can you remember it?
It was serendipity in action, actually, because I met a guy the weekend before that was tattooed, and he had the star tetrahedron on his hand. And that was on the Saturday night, and your talk was on the Wednesday, I think. So it just made it all come together beautifully. So your Sacred Geometry tour was definitely a doorway into loads of other things. I love the geometry, and I did a talk a couple of times and tried to integrate the geometry into the space. And I've got a compass in my bag nowadays and things like that. It's a bit of
You drew some pretty amazing geometry, I remember. You managed to get that road in geometry into the Flower of Life. It surprised you almost as much as it surprised me, I think.
It was, well, that was one of the things that you were saying when you did the lineup about John Boyd. Now, I've done a couple of festivals and things like that, and John Boyd, for me, because I've gone around and said, I questioned a lot of people, what was your favourite speaker? Over a lot of different festivals, a lot of different places. And John Boyd's name kept coming up over and over again. And I only first had a chance to catch him at the Green Gathering.
Yeah.
And he made so much sense for me about the vortexual energies, the earth frequencies, and the Flower Life stuff that you spoke about 3 years ago just comes alive with the whole kind of vortex stuff.
He's brilliant, John. People are so comfortable with him. He's such a relaxed guy to listen to. And, of course, he's doing all the experiments at home. He's building himself vortices that you can see working over the kitchen sink.
He's definitely like a Blue Peter vortice. Yeah.
Have you seen any of his brass art?
I've seen his brass art before I saw any of his stuff. So I've seen the art before I saw the ideas behind it. So his brass stuff's so diverse, it's so different. So it reminds me of the Emoto stuff with the water crystals.
Yeah,
almost.
Well, he completely got into, he got this stuff, he got sponsored to take it into a physics laboratory and have it looked at. And apparently he's completely foxed them all. But that's for next week, really, that is. We'll have a bit of Johnny Bide on the show next week, recorded conversation, as I say, and give you a couple of web links so that you can go and look at some of these really strange things that he's producing. And I gather his next plan is to... to actually hand out a load of brass discs to people to take to different watercourses in the world and see what different things arise.
It's really interesting. There's loads of different, so many interesting projects that people are coming up with. And I think if we start mixing it up and doing research and putting it together, with the internet the way it is and the time at the moment, it seems to be integrating everybody's research and integrating everybody's stuff. And I see this kind of happening on so many different areas, whether it be the Freeman stuff or the, like, that's what we aim to do with Truth Juice, is kind of bring together all the subjects, all the topics, because actually we're all leading to the same point, which is sharing.
And unity, unity of ideas. It is something that I've commented before on the show, is that so much chat happens between the presenters, especially at the Green Gather, at Avalon Rising gigs, where we're catering for our own crew. But it happens even more so really at the Truth Juice gatherings. I really missed it last year.
Avalon Rising is exactly the same sort of vibe. It's beautiful. It's got a lovely, and it kind of just, it's a magnet towards like-minded, for the lack of a better word, like-minded or open thinking, whatever the words are to confuse us.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful, really, family is the closest way to describe it.
Yeah.
It feels like you've known them forever.
And to start with, really, Avalon Rising and Truth Juice had really a separate cohort of speakers, but we can see them coming together now. And we're going to be working together on this Unity Earth Dance at Glastonbury. We're going to be doing September the 19th, weekend off.
It is. It's the Earth Dance celebration on the Saturday evening, and it's... I really love the idea of this project, so that's why I'm putting a lot of energy into it, is because it's a co-op. The idea being that everybody who comes owns the gathering and owns their party, so bring what you can. So the tickets are £65, concessions £85, but we're trying to help people to bring to the space. So if you can contribute talk-wise, we've got a healing space, a garden space, a dance space, a talk space that Avalon Rising are running, sauna and showers, and a kids area. So we really got, and that's all come about by people saying, oh, I'll run the kids space, and oh, I'll bring this, and I'll bring that. So it's providing the space and letting people fill in the gaps.
So it's another move. We've been talking for some time, as people on the listening to the show know, about the idea of trying to do a festival where effectively everybody's crew.
Well, the Heart of the East was exactly that, and I think it's everything's perfect because everybody's learning, and what we're doing is we're stepping on new ground, and it's so new. None of us really know what we're doing, so we've got to experiment, and I think the best thing that we can do is share our findings, our experiment findings. Some things work, some things don't. I mean, one of the things that interested me at the Heart of the East, and that we're going to be trying to put together... we're trying to the Unity Gathering, the Earth Dance in September, is bring your own cutlery.
Yeah.
Bring your own plate and fork, and something like that, bringing into this family atmosphere where everybody does their bit.
Well, I noticed we do actually have, unusually, it's the first time I've seen it, apart from at Lucy's gig, the Ancient Knowledge Festival that she did. This is the first time I've seen one where there's an hour and a half booked out in the evening for everybody to have supper. So we'll all be eating at the same time. Instead of having Unity.
Yeah, Unity. Yeah, Unity's...
I have seen a schedule.
Also,
because curiously, synchronicitously, Sean Maguire, who is an MSI presenter, who you might have come across, Vicky.
Sean, who runs Avalon Space.
No, this is a different Sean. He's a poet over there, and he's also a presenter on MSI. And he said that he was keen to come and have a go if there was... a spoken word space, which we've never tried to do before.
We've got a spoken word space.
Well, Sean's coming. Sean's coming. I asked him, and I think he's booked the tickets.
Perfect. Well, what we're trying to say is, like, give fairly, because I think we're in this trusty environment where we're saying, if you ask it, I mean, because a lot of these people are, a lot of us are dealing in times where we're not dealing with money. So if that's the case, come a little bit earlier, give a bit more work. We're actually opening the site up from the Tuesday.
I'll be there. I'm coming on the Tuesday.
And Rihanna as well.
And Jess and Synchro.
And we want to make a heat an arch so we can do ribbons on the arch, wishing ribbons on the arch and healing tree and things like that. And without sounding like a crazy feminist, I've found this feminine energy of kind of holding the space and everybody helping each other, everybody sharing. I was at a festival my friend did it. It was a charity festival. It was like a weekend drink party that was a charity do for the air ambulance. And it was basically her and it was four women. And it was a joy to watch because they didn't have to ask each other to do anything. It was just all done. Everything was tidied up. Nobody wanted to leave. And it was just beautiful that everybody worked together without being... without a leader, or but yet still organised.
Yeah, it can be done,
it works. When it works, it works so beautifully. It's a joy to watch because you can see nobody's at tension with anything. Nobody's got any, and everyone just wants it to work really well. And I think that's what we're learning at the moment, is to just want to create the best.
It's again quite a new thing, I think, because although we've been working towards these sort of things for a long time, this year is really the first time that I've seen festivals like the Fire in the Mountain come together and be really almost perfect. You know, no trouble at all. Like you say, there weren't even any meetings at Fire in the Mountain. Everything happened and continued to happen for the whole festival. Everybody had a cracking time. And I didn't hear an angry word spoken. In fact, I told a tale before on the show about the very last day when we were tidying up. There was a guy who'd obviously been having quite a hairy, he'd obviously been having quite a lot of artificial stimulation, and he'd really got into the nature around him, and his lift was ready to go before he was all packed up. And so there was a bit of an explosion of temper from him, which was the only one I saw. But the thing that was remarkable about it was that the result of that was that two or three people wandered over to him and helped him put his tent away and pack all his stuff up so that he could get into the lift in the 15 minutes required. There wasn't a word said, you know, it was just recognised that there was a bit of help needed, so help was given. And I think that's the first time I've seen such smooth things occurring. And I think it's partly a product of the time, partly a product of the people that we've got now.
I've seen so many beautiful things happening recently that are really kind of heartwarming. I was at the Balcombe fracking camp.
The
protest camp last weekend.
That sounds like it's really put a blue touch paper on the fracking issue to me, that does.
That was heartwarming because that, to me, there was so many personal stories. Obviously, like all people where there's a lot of people in one space, you get different aspects to the same issue. But just the idea that a lot of people just felt like they'd heard a calling. And I think it's definitely like Greenham Common of our time or whatever it is.
So what's it like? What's happening there?
There's two separated camps, and to be honest, I didn't really go to the climate camp. It felt like that was a little bit more kind of, I don't know what the word was, because I wouldn't like to pass judgment, because I didn't really know. But the kind of movement that was happening up by the gate, it was lovely to see. Obviously, it was a little bit of anxiety. There was a big police presence. But from what I found the police to be really nice, and... not all of them, obviously, because and not all the protesters were nice either. No. So, and a lot of, I mean, I was at the Bilderberg as well.
What sort of setup is there at this?
It's phenomenal. There's a kitchen.
I've heard it described as a carnival.
The one side, I didn't go into the side of it that possibly would be the carnival side. Right. I was on the main street at the front, which has an open kitchen, a kids' area. There's a couple of camps up there. It's quite, a talk space, and people have been doing meditating and chanting. The police have been kind of up and down. They've been picking people off, but also what I found from the police was I call from the police to do their due diligence, and I'm a firm believer of the police are one of us. At the end of the day...
Fracking ain't going to do them any good.
Well, I was saying things like, do you know what it is? Have you got children? Is it something that you've thought about? Have you looked into it? Do you know what the implications have been in Australia, and things like that? And if we're waking people up, and if we're going to stop bother to like try and wake our friends up and go to all the grief of saying you're mad, let's charge with the police. Let's try give them the time, hold their hand, and say, yes, brother, I'm doing this for you. And there is one of the talks that you did, again to quote you, was with the alchemy talk, with how do you stop?
What happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object?
Yes.
Yeah, that old riddle.
Indeed.
Yeah. And the answer is that the unstoppable force stops and the immovable object moves.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the paradoxical aspect of the protest was really interesting, because the police were there saying they're there to protect the protesters, and in a peculiar way, the protesters were there to protect the police, because there's nobody who's going to benefit from fracking.
No, indeed. Somebody's just put in that in the chat box here, Mahatma Coke, good friend of mine, has put in the Truth Juice is a business. There's a video there, What's Truth Juice All About, which we'll have to go and have a look at.
Oh, I've got a funny feeling it's going to be Dom, bless him.
Dom, really?
Yeah, well, yeah. I actually bumped into Dom at the fracking camp. In fact, I'll tell the story of what of my visit to the fracking camp. I think I went down, I bumped into a couple of people, and Dom recently, I'm not really sure what his issue is with people in the truth and this kind of profiteering from truth. And I think that he's got this issue that people shouldn't pay for truth, and I don't really understand where he's coming from, because it doesn't matter what the event is, you have to pay for the venue, you have to pay for the thing. And what Truth Juice is trying to empower people to do whatever they feel they want to do. And some groups, I mean, Dave in Liverpool wanted to do it for as cheaply as possible, and it become impossible after a time because it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
All the groups are separate. I mean, Truth Juice Birmingham, when I started it, and it's still now, is £5 entrance, £3 concessions. I was always happy to let people in for free in exchange of leafleting and things like that. The festival as well is an independent. It's been run by people. This is independent empowerment.
I really don't think anybody's making a lot of money out of Truth Juice. And the other thing is that we've seen now, like, you moved on, so that Andy and Claire, they've been doing the Birmingham thing for a couple of years, but Ian and Karen moved on. Tracy and Andrew moved on. I think Nick and Muriel have moved on. The thing is that it's actually quite a shattering experience trying to run a Truth Juice group.
And this is why I feel, and this is what I spoke to Dom about, is I feel a little bit disheartened, because I've spent a lot of time and effort and money as well. I mean, a lot of people, everybody you mentioned there, Claire, Kirsty, myself.
It's costing them money, isn't it?
I've put money into Truth Juice, yeah. I'm never going to get back, and I don't want it back, because that wasn't the reason why it was done. It was done because... to save my own sanity, I think.
He's put laugh out loud, Dom doesn't know his arse from his elbow, poor lad. Oh,
yeah,
bless.
Well, you know what? This is what I was trying to say to Dom, recently is we are all one, and we must evolve as one. That's the I and I. It's not just me, it's all of us. So even if someone is driving you crazy and doing your head in, and I have been frustrated at Dom at times, I still got to say, come on, brother. I love you. Stop being silly. Come on, brother. And but I am a little bit annoyed that he picks at people that are trying to do something. And everybody that I know that has done any sort of event, truth movement, they've spent a lot of effort and a lot of time. And it isn't a financial gain. You don't earn money out of it. There isn't any money to be made. Because... we're dealing with people who don't want to work with money.
Yeah, well, and there's Darren's point, isn't there, as well? There's Darren Deoji's point that we get confused between the money, which is a useful way of, if you've done something for somebody, they can say, here's something that you can use with anybody else as an exchange in energy, and we get confused between that and who's printing it. He also points out that all this work we do, like a lot of the Truth Juice stuff or Avalon Rising or whenever we go out, most of us work for donations when we're independent of these organisations. And people are happy to go out and buy themselves an iPhone. They're happy to go and buy a bloody Mac computer and Nike trainers, but they're not happy about handing over a few quid.
Well, Truth Juice, as far as I'm concerned, Truth Juice Birmingham and local Truth Juice is to buy like £5, £3 concessions is the same as buying somebody a drink. Do you know what I mean? It's like buying the speaker a drink for bothering to come.
Yeah.
And I mean, £100, £150 for a Whitney Houston ticket when she came to Birmingham, and she was awful.
Yeah.
And nobody was writing to
her. Not very educational either.
Well, at the end of the day, it's not a forced thing. You don't have to come. And, I mean, like Glastonbury event, the Unity Gathering, what we're opening it to is a trust environment where we're saying, look, give what you can.
Yeah.
And if you can't give... What can you give? Mm. What skill have you got to bring?
Yeah.
What can you run a kids spies? Can you run what have you got to bring to the pot?
If we go back to the free festivals, which I've yawned on about, folks, I know for a lot. The very first show I did for TNS, as it then was, one of the things on it was the death of the Stonehenge Free Festival.
I've been because knowing people, a lot about this, and it just keeps popping up.
People really did bring especially in the latter years, there was probably people there who were just there to enjoy it. But by and large, at Stonehenge, most people who were coming there were bringing something that they were going to... It might have been entertainment, it might have been a band, it might have been a bit of stuff to buy and sell. But it was a free market as well as a free festival.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't stewards and security and all these other things we have. Which means, and there wasn't even police.
The ability to trade, and the other thing
and
is the drugs.
Manage it. And to actually manage it, because obviously if you're not going to let the police in, you have to police it yourself. And we did used to have things like Satan's Claw coming in and trying to steal everybody's money. And we did have to sort out gangs of Hell's Angels and stuff. And there's another one we did. We used to do the Dragon Fest in Spain. Same thing. Organised by about 50 people. Maybe 10 or 15,000 people there on the Saturday night. But there was no security there, and any of those other things there. It can be done. And what we're doing is effectively, I think, with the Heart of the East and with the Unity Earth dances, we're trying to experiment with doing things that way again.
Well, this is one of the main gripes I've got with the Freeman movement, is a lot of these things that we're doing is treading on new ground, and people have done things, been to High Court, done all sorts of things, and they haven't even written down the findings of the experiment. They've just kind of gone and they've come out and they said, oh, the judge was scared. I'm thinking, that's not a valid analogy of what's happened there.
No.
You need to really, if you're going to go through all this trouble with your paperwork, at least write down what really happened in the end and troubleshoot it honestly. And one of the things that come up, this is well worth any of you listeners checking out, is Charles Shaw, who's an American speaker who I saw in Breaking Conventions in London not long ago. And he was talking about consciousness and revolution. Really engaging speaker, really, really interested in me. And he's a filmmaker and he makes Exile Nation, talking about the prison culture in America. And what he's was speaking about was kind of, what do we do? What's the direct action? And one of the main problems was the fact that the government or the powers that be have always put a medium in between you and wherever it is you want to go, whether it be the church has put the priest in between you and God,
yeah.
The trading has put money in between you and whoever you're trading with. And we've got to take away that middleman, and we've got to stand in our own power where we're responsible for our own trading. And what you're talking about, these free festivals, the drug culture and the trading, the beauty of the drug culture was it was weighable. I can say, oh, I want £5, £10, yeah. £50. And what they've done is they've stopped us to have a weighable exchange with each other. So we can't, and the scrap merchants are very licensed now. Back before, it was kind of traded in salt and precious spices. To be able to weigh something is a commodity. So, and gold, they're taking gold off the street. I think to be able to put something on a scale and say that's how much that's worth,
yeah,
is something that we need to...
But if the, if as we know, the money's disappearing and everything, my whole feeling about this is that we are going to have to do this soon anyway.
Well, we're treading on new grounds, and what I've found is I'm really trying to step into the flow and be wherever it is that I'll end up, rather than trying to plan how this is going to happen. Because whenever I plan, it all goes out the window anyway. Mm. So, and what I've found is the universe is just providing over and over again.
It's the same with us, because we very often now have no gaming tokens at all, and sometimes not even the diesel to get us to the place we're supposed to be getting a free ticket for. But having said that, you get to the last minute and you're going, there's no money for the diesel. And then at the last minute, just exactly the right, you know, maybe 20 quid turns up, which is enough to get you to where you want to go. And then they give you enough money to get home or wherever you're going next, basically.
It's so perfect, you couldn't make it up.
Well, it also means that you know what the money's for. There's a lot of clarity. If you've actually got enough money to choose what you're going to do next and all that other stuff, then it's up to you to choose. But if the resource is only arriving at the moment that you actually need it, then it becomes very clear what you need to do with the resource. And it does seem to me that synchronicitous things happen. And whilst I admit that it's not necessarily as easy living with no money as it was trying to live on 40 grand a year.
Trying to explain it as well, because what happens is unexplainable and you can't say, oh, yeah, I just went out one day. But I watched a programme about the life of the Buddha, and he was saying about the disciples of the Buddha thousands of years ago when they were following. One of the things that he said to them was, empty your bowl at midday. Because you've got to have faith that the next day you'll be provided for.
Yeah.
Your food will be provided for you, and you've got to have complete faith that that will happen. Mm. And that's the path of the knowing that you will always... Faith, in a way, the leap of faith, knowing that you will be provided for. And it's easier said than done, because it's not what we're taught to do at all.
Well, the trouble is that it seems to me that from my history anyway, that actually on the times that... on the odd occasion that I've not been provided for, it has always been preceded by my suspecting that I'm not going to be provided for. That the anticipation is all. I mean, I know, I mean, it is such a difficult time. You know, you look at how expensive things are, you look at how difficult it can be
but
getting around
what,
on the road.
But you
know
what's rolling in
front
of me?
I'm not saying it's easy.
Everything that every... And it's like... But it's thoughts becoming things and how much you feed it. And it's like... Instead of saying, oh, I'm fat, you have to say I'm thin and beautiful, even if you're feeling really fat. It's like when you've got no money at all, you've got to say I'm rich, and you've got to believe it. And it's the more you focus on the debt, the more the debt comes into your life. The more you focus on what you don't want, the more it comes. And it is. And once you get into that spiral, it's very difficult to snap yourself out of it.
Yeah.
For any of your listeners that doesn't know Louise Hay talks about a lot about positive affirmations and that kind of... Fake it till you make it.
And
so say it even if it's not true.
I always connect that kind of stuff with Emoto's work with the water as well. We can see what a single word does to a jar of water. And your intent is effectively doing the same thing. Because it's not just water that reacts like that. It's the cosmos. Form, I can't remember, was it? It was probably Jose Arguelles who said, form is the shape of consciousness. So all the things we see about us are coming out of us and being reflected back to us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and from like a negative manifestation, if you look at people who get diagnosed with cancer, they can have cancer for ages. And as soon as they're diagnosed and they're told they've got cancer, they have a rapid decrease in health because all of a sudden they're told this really scary word manifests it.
One of the most effective curses that we've got in the modern world, I think.
And this is where the spells come in. What Darren Diogi says about these spells are so powerful. Mm. They are, because they hit you and they're there. Words with magical effect.
Well, all I can say is that, you know, in because we'll put a few more chews on in a moment, I think, and call it quits. But I think that the it's gone. Slipped my mind. It's a long time since that's happened. That idea just ran away entirely.
I've just been noticing your chat. I don't know whether Dom's been mentioned a couple of times. Let me just say a little bit more about the fracking camp.
Yeah.
Because actually I had a really beautiful moment with the chief inspector. Well, it was a couple of hours, actually. This is sounding worse and worse.
wearing a bloody uniform next.
Well, I'm a firm believer that once you look into these industries, I think the darkness that we look at, they know a lot. They know how dark it really is. They know how bad it really goes. And I think we are all one. And if you can kind of set that seed in people, it's regardless of where they work or what they are, I think everyone's got to wake up. So encourage everybody, and don't be kind of a lot of police join the police force because they did really genuinely want to do something nice. Not all of them are arseholes, and to generalize is just as judgment. The Four Agreements was something I learned in Colombia and I try to live by, which is: be true to your words, don't judge, don't justify, and do your best with what you've got. And we spend so much time in either judging others or justifying things that we've done that we shouldn't have done that way. And it's like, just accept it, learn from it, and very much kind of take the blessing from the experience rather than being caught up in what's done your edging about it.
Everybody's, in my opinion, doing what needs to be done, whatever it is they're doing. And even if stuff we say we later feel embarrassed about or feel that we could have done it better, it is the stuff we said at the time, and it is the stuff that needed to be said, as far as I can tell. That most of the grief we give ourselves about such things is grief given to ourselves by ourselves, not by other people.
Well, it's all reflective, and you can look in the mirror and you can see the beauty or you can see the ugly, and I'm notorious for troubleshooting myself as yeah. well, and saying, oh, you could have done this better, you could have done yeah. that better, and that should have been tidier, and this you should have been there sooner. And I'm trying my hardest to just be and to congratulate myself more rather than saying...
There is an aspect of that which I think is important. I've been talking about it to one or two other presenters, is that that uncertainty and that constant need to have a sharp edge to your tool, as it were, and to be dubious about what it was you just did when we're doing things like this, the talks and the radio show and stuff, that's where any quality comes from. If you become complacent, the show will become boring.
Mm-hmm.
So it is necessary to be able to look critically at what you're doing without tearing yourself down, you know, without chewing. Mm-hmm. A degree of self-criticism, I think, is extremely helpful. But constantly, you do seem a lot happier than you did a year ago, and you look a lot more chirpy.
Well, I went down the Freeman path and I stopped paying my mortgage, and I thought that was the way for me. It just stressed me out so much.
Mm.
Because that was a peculiar paradox where you think, oh, well, it's only materialistic, I don't need it anyway, money doesn't exist. Mm. And then when all of a sudden they try and set your house off, you're like, oh,
yeah.
It does. All yeah. right, I'll pay you.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I had a bit of a dark stage with Truth Juice where I was like, morally, I feel a bit bad to be telling people that they should, because I listened to people saying, don't pay your mortgage, and I didn't pay my mortgage.
Mm.
Luckily, I also got an unsecured loan and bought some silver at the same time that I never paid. Never paid the unsecured loan, but I had a plan B, and I know there's a lot of people out there that haven't got a plan B.
No.
So I think there's it's a bit immoral to be suggesting to people to do things that is untested ground, unless they're completely aware of the risks that are involved. But we're treading on such new ground at the moment. I think what True Juice has developed into is more of a community where we're looking after people. And we're helping them find this information.
It's so varied, though. You know, the Truth Juice groups are so different from each other.
And they've all got their own flavour, because the person who's brought it has got their own flavour.
Yeah.
And what we say is it's just a platform. Mm. We don't agree necessarily with anything that the speakers are saying, and we don't represent anything that the groups are putting on, because it's only a platform anyway.
It's not just talks we're doing now. There's the Birmingham Meditation Group, which is going on quite nicely. We did that. We came along and did ceremony in Leicester for Truth Juice Leicester, Birmingham, and Nottingham.
The template stuff.
And it was wicked. It was a wicked 33 people turned up, and didn't we have a fantastic... We had a brilliant day, and you came with some Truth Juice guys to a ceremony we were doing in...
That was my birthday, Cambridge, actually.
What a day out that was.
That was brilliant.
So Truth Juice isn't just about seeking truth. And it's not a kind of self-help group, but it is amazing.
And the other thing is all the other things it helps. I mean, like we help, like the Fluoride Association, and Be the Change Trust is another thing we've got in Birmingham where they do kind of planting projects and growing projects.
But didn't Be the Change actually run the Bromsgrove Day of Love?
But that was Phil. That was another guy who did Bromsgrove Day of Kindness.
Okay, that was
right. And he's been doing it for 9 years, and he just come along to Truth Juice and integrated that. It's kind of a promotion thing, so we all promote each other, help each other out, and it's back down to this kind of circular thing where we're sharing. Yeah. And without again sounding crazy feminist, is it circular model? We're coming from the masculine, which is the triangle. Well, you know all about this, Nick. The triangle of this kind of, like, there's one person at the top explaining to everybody else. And coming into this circular model where everybody's sharing and co-creating, and it's spinning this vortex of just beautiful co-creative energy rather than dictator, I know what's right and I'm going to tell everybody what they should be doing. It's not that at all. We've all got something to offer.
I think it's worth talking about it. When you've experienced something and you have first-hand knowledge of it and you've tried it, then it's worth talking about it.
Well, I think it's only storytelling that we're doing, and I think that's all we're doing, and it's providing somewhere for us to hear our stories. It used to be around the campfire, then it used to be in the pub, then it used to be in the WI, and it's like the media or the powers that be or the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, back down to this, they put a middleman in. And the middleman is the television, it is Facebook, it is the computer. And it's like, we've got to take away that medium.
That's why I say again and again, I think that the internet is really great. There's so much great stuff that comes out of MSI Radio especially, but that's I find deep satisfaction in listening to loads of stuff I hear, and it's not just because I'm broadcasting on this station. Other stations I find there is good stuff on them, but it's not so consistent. But I don't think any of it beats this business of meeting in a field with like-minded souls, mm-hmm. preferably where there's a bit of beer and a bit of food available, to actually do the live-to-live-in-heart, eyeball-to-eyeball thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, you've got all the pheromones, you've got everything about it.
I think it's crucial. I think it's more than just something that's, oh, it's nice. I think it's really important, because what happens is a lot of people that come through at Truth Juice and other events like this that have looked at this information that can be very, very hard to digest, have almost been broken, and they've been stuck behind their computer, and they've mm-hmm. become less and less wanting to socialise, not yeah. mixing with people, yeah. not wanting to talk to people, becoming more and more isolated, and without going on like too much, like, oh, it's a shame. But people really kind of become like suicide risks and everything, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's a dark place to be, it's a rabbit hole, it's take the mm-hmm. red pill or the blue pill, and people can get lost in that darkness, and unless there's somewhere where they can have that cuddle, because it's all mm-hmm. well and good posted on the internet, I like that you feel like that. You have to have the heart-to-heart cuddle. You have to look in their eyes and you have to go, come on, brother. Come on, I know how you feel. Don't worry, we'll have a cup of tea.
Well, I reckon that we're getting to the point where we can go out and join the singing around the campfire, whatever it is that's going
Sounds
on out there.
Sounds good to me, Nick.
There's sort of 10 minutes or so left of the show, so I think I should say thank you very much, Vicky, for coming and chatting to me.
Lovely, it's always a pleasure, Nick. It's always lovely to see you, even more so in a field.
And, of course, thanks to Lawrence and to Santos for coming on a bit earlier. Santos is heading for Ireland, some details of which I'm sure will be made available. I meant to ask him, and then I forgot. But we're...
I think they're all on the Facebook, and yeah. I think they're on the Truth Juice webpage as well.
Yeah, very good.
He's in London on... In fact, actually, let me just do a little bit of... London Truth Juice is starting on the 31st of August. Santos is talking there at Passing Clouds.
Truth Juice is starting at Passing Clouds, is it?
Yeah.
Ah.
So we've got... Santos is doing a talk there. I'm not 100% sure on how long it'll stay there, because I think we're going to get so much interest.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a small venue. But I think London Truth Juice, I think, is going to get a lot of interest.
Yeah.
Brighton keeps coming up as a bit of a hit list, so I think potentially Brighton's on the cards as well. So, and of course, if any of you guys out there, if any of you are listening and you want to start a group, if there isn't a group in your local area and you want to start something, if you contact, you can contact me on victoria@truthjuice.co.uk or check out the webpage, truthjuice.co.uk. And what we'll do is we can share our contact details of our speakers, people like Nick, and then if Santos or other people come from abroad, we can kind of share that, do some sort of tour and arrange to share the speakers. And we just kind of support people, start their own groups and help locally for this to spread as far and as wide as possible. Also, around the world even, we have got... there's a group in Brisbane.
Yeah. It started off to the first Truth Juice gathering. Anyway, I'm going to draw a halt to this. Thank you very much.
Sorry,
Vicky.
I digress.
Don't go too far away. I know you've got something I want there. I shall put some tunes on that we can listen to from outside the van. In the meantime, I'll say thanks very much to everybody who's joined me on the show. Thanks to Truth Juice for letting me in here. Thanks to MSI for continuing to let me come out and chatter on over the airwaves. And to scotlandisfree.ning.com. And thanks, of course, to all those lovely people out at the Open, the Creative Commons, who've made the software, the Linux software, out of which all of this is being broadcast. It really makes my life so much easier. I'm ever so chuffed and impressed by it. But I'm chuffed and impressed most of all by all you guys who are out there, all the comments that were in the chat box that I didn't have time to address tonight. But we really do appreciate your attention. Thank you very much.
Lots of love, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, Vicky. Thanks for coming along. And we'll be back with you next week from a caravan or a lorry somewhere else, talking about who knows what, but probably treating you to a bit of John Bide at least, and one or two other things that have stacked up whilst we've been finding all these live guests to talk to. So, see you next week, folks.
This is Media Streaming International Radio.